Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, if you want to find out what the church ought to look like, the book of Acts is the place to go. And we've discovered there that the church is born on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. And last week we started out in the first part of chapter 2. Now we'll go down to verse 46. Now I want you to see this snapshot of the early church, how they operated. This is just moments after, actually, we might say hours, it could be days, we don't know exactly the timeline here, but it's very shortly after the event of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And it says, verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those that should be saved. Look at verse 47 one more time. Praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. On the day of Pentecost, there was approximately 3,000, the Bible says, that came into faith following after Jesus Christ. The message of Peter, their lives were transformed. When you go into the next chapter, chapter 3, the blind man, or the man rather, there by the gate called Beautiful, and as a result of the testimony and what took place there, approximately another 5,000 come to faith in Christ. And so you find that they're gathering together. They're going to stick together. The world may be against them, but they know that they're for each other and that the Lord is for them. And they're praising God, enjoying all the favor of the people, and the Lord is adding to the church daily. Now, we continue on this morning with our three-week series titled Discover. The goal of this series is that we might better understand this church's past, the present, and where are we headed for the future. Therefore, the titles of the messages is Discover Our Past. Today, it's Define Our Present. And next Sunday, Determine Our Future. Now, last week, we set out to discover our past. And we're asking questions just like, where did the Assemblies of God come from? What are our spiritual roots? What is our specific DNA as a congregation? And here's what we discovered. We discovered that the Assemblies of God Fellowship was forged in the fires of a great turn-of-the-century revival. Our roots are traceable to Azusa Street Revival and that which took place in Los Angeles in the early 1900s. Our roots, however, are much, much deeper than Azusa Street. They go directly back to the upper room and what God did there in pouring out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost, as we find it in Acts chapter 2. So our roots are tapped deep into the soil of God's Word, and they are also deep into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and from what we read on Pentecost on. So our roots then, as a congregation, they're Pentecostal. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We believe in praying in the Holy Spirit. We believe in living lives that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, by searching the meticulous records that have been kept by this congregation for some 89 years, we discovered that this congregation has a long history of soul-winning endeavors. Last week, we talked about how when Joseph Wanamaker sent them out to the streets of Cudahy and South Milwaukee, he sent them out not to start a church, but rather, I want you to go out and reach the lost. And in his mind, if you reach enough lost people, then you legitimately will have a church one day. And so he sent them out not to build a church, but rather to win the lost. And soul winning endeavors was part of this congregation from its very beginning, standing on the street corners and sharing in Cudahy, South Milwaukee, to anyone that would slow down long enough to listen, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, you'll discover this congregation took some great steps of faith all along its journey in these 89 years. And you'll discover that, you know, these steps of faith, were exactly that. They were huge steps of faith. They believed that God could do and build a church in this south area of the city, and that God would be faithful in helping them to do so. And they took some great steps of faith. We also talked about how they had a heart for global missions. Going back into the records, I found that they were supporting some missionaries at $1.25 a month. Now, it may not have been much at that time, and certainly not much today, but it was their heart that was behind it. They were saying from the very beginning, we want to make sure that we are not only reaching Southeast Wisconsin, but we want to reach around the world through our missionaries. And to that end, they began to support missionaries from the early days on. They had an unwavering commitment to the Word of God. Now, this morning, I want to press on from our past, and let's begin to define the present. The question of the morning is where are we at this morning as a congregation in the year 2022? What, if anything, has happened over the past 89 years? What is this congregation accomplished? And in order to define the present, I believe we need to start out with a moment of reflection, going back to the past for a few moments. You know, the psalmist David was a man of reflection. As you read through the Psalms, you'll often find that he is reflecting on his life. He is reflecting even on the universe that surrounds us. And he is looking toward the heavens above, and he is just declaring the greatness of God, and the heavens declare the glory of God. He is reflecting, and then he is responding to that by glorifying God. And so what we're going to do here this morning is we're going to take a few moments, and we're going to do what David said to do. We're going to take and reflect. We're going to look and see what God has been up to. It would appear as though one of David's greatest concerns in his life was the fear that he would somehow forget the blessing of God or take for granted any of the many blessings of the Lord. You know, Psalm 103 tells us that it's a good thing to pause, reflect, and then to bless the Lord. Listen to Psalm 103, starting with verse 1, written by David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He is saying, I want you to bless the Lord. Soul within me, I want you to glorify God. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Notice there, and forget not all of his benefits. And then he begins to number them out. Who forgives all of your iniquities. How many are grateful this morning you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb? Amen? Hallelujah. That's something to rejoice in. Amen. How many are glad today that he heals all of our diseases? Amen. He is the healer who redeems thy life from destruction. Can you think of a time when you almost had an accident and there was some divine interaction and you know that God was on the scene, he spared your very life? David said, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, the message then of Psalm 103 is simple. Here's what he says we ought to do. Number one, we ought to pause. You know, we live in such a fast-paced culture and society that if we're not careful, we don't take time to pause and think about the blessing of God. And David said, I don't want to live my life in such a way that I forget the blessings of God that have been given to me. And so he says, I'm going to pause. You know, there's a missionary down in Central America. He was watching as a group of people were working out in the fields. And they would work in the field. And then as they would move, they'd move just a few steps and they would stop. Then they would move a little further, and once again, they would stop. And the missionary said, what in the world are they up to? Why did they take a few steps and then stop? He said, oh, let me tell you, they want to make sure that they don't outrun their soul. And so they're waiting for their soul to catch up with them. You know, I'm not sure we have to pause in that way, but I do think it's good to pause in life and make sure we don't outrun our soul, that we don't outrun the blessings of the Lord and forget what God has done for us. And so Psalm 103 says we need to pause, And then we need to reflect. We need to look over our lives and think about all the events of our lives. And then we need to recall the many blessings of the Lord that we received in everyday life. And as a result of that, we need to give thanks. So the four steps that he gives us then is to pause, to reflect, to recall, and then to give thanks. Now, friends, with these four principles in mind, let's corporately put them into practice here in these next few moments together this morning. Together, I encourage us all, let's pause and reflect on the many blessings that God has bestowed on this congregation over the past 89 years, and then let's give thanks. So when you hear something in this message that sounds like it is something we ought to praise God about and thank him for and give celebratory praise to him, just break out and do it, okay? Let's do that as we walk through the remainder of the message this morning. You know, Phil Hogan is the former director of Assemblies of God World Missions. He had a saying that I think that most of us have lived, you know, under his ministry, understood what he was saying, and have embraced the same kind of philosophy. He said this, "Facts are the food that feeds our faith." Amen. Facts are the food that feeds our faith. Now, I want you to think about it. 89 years ago, we had absolutely no place to gather to worship. They started on the streets of Cudahy, sharing on street corners. They brought out their little pump organ, and they would sing on the street corners to anyone, once again, that would slow down long enough to listen. We had no roof overhead at all. 89 years ago, we had no building. And this morning, we enjoy the comforts of one of the largest church campuses in the entire state of Wisconsin. There's over 200,000 square feet under one roof that is all dedicated to the purpose of gathering together and meeting with Jesus Christ. And for that, we give him praise. Facts are the food that feed our faith. Of the 12,936 Assembly of God churches across the United States, Oak Creek Assembly of God now ranks number 49 in weekly worship attendance. Think about that. Out of 12,936, we are number 49 in worship attendance every single weekend. You know, through a host of outreaches, this congregation continues to reach out to the lost. Thousands have come to our musicals and illustrated sermons and concerts. Streetlight ministries go out in the streets just as they did in the very beginning and sharing Christ in every place that men and women gather. We have sports camps and music camps and park outreaches like the one that's coming up at Washington Park next weekend. We have international ministries. We have special friends ministries, men's ministries, women's ministries, children's ministries, youth ministries, family fall festival, Holy Spirit miracle rallies. We have weekly services and altar calls. We have live streaming and media ministries that literally reach around the world. Do you realize last year, I don't have the stats for this year yet, of course, but last year, more than 200,000 people joined us online from all over the world to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a statistic that should bring the house up, all right? And we ought to just really raise our voices in praise. I asked my admin, Marge Eidson, if she could go back over the ACMRs. You say, well, what's an ACMR? ACMR is an acronym that stands for Annual Church Ministry Report. It's a report that all of our churches, the 12,936, report to our General Council, the Assemblies of God, every year at year end, just what God has been up to within our local churches. I said, I want you to go back and look at some stats for me. And the first stat I asked her, I said, we can only go back to 1979, but if you could go back that far, tell us how many recorded salvation reports have been given at Oak Creek Assembly of God and there's a documented number of 71,065 lives that have been transformed by the power of God. Do you realize that number is equivalent, almost equivalent, to the number of people, total number that lives in the city of Oak Creek and Franklin combined? God has been good. Amen. Now, the methods may have changed over the years, but the messages remain the same. And that message is Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by Him. That has been our continuous message for 89 years. And friends, we still believe it is not by might nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That portion of Scripture out of Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 was chosen by the Assemblies of God in 1914 to be the motto for our congregations across the nation and around the world. And that is simply stating, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I declare to you this morning, that is more than a motto. That is the modus operandi of ministry within this church, and it will always be. It is not by might. It is not by the smarts of man or the power that we can all unitedly pull together. It is through the gospel being presented under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that changes lives. We still believe it. A guest just a couple of weeks ago, it would have been on July the 3rd, which was our Celebrate Freedom service that morning. After the service was over with, he said, I want to talk to you for a moment. And I went over to the corner of the room and he said, I want you to know your choir looks a little bit of what I think heaven is going to look like. And I said, explain, what do you mean? He says, many races and tongues all worshiping God together. Now, let me give you another little stat here. There are 37 different nations represented every Sunday when we gather together at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We come from all over the globe. We come from Latin America, Central America. We come from Africa, the points along the coast to the central portion of Africa, Asia to Europe. There are 37 different nations represented, and we gather together under one name, the name of Jesus Christ. We're so blessed. When I think of the individuals of this congregation and the roles that they play every day in culture, in society, it's absolutely amazing. We have those that are involved in medicine, those that are involved in law. They work in government, in education. They work in retail, in manufacturing. Some are in the military. We have first responders, both in police and fire responders. We have science and technology that's represented, engineering of all sorts. Those are involved in real estate, in construction, in finance. Some are CFOs, others are CEOs. They're involved in transportation. They're involved in aviation. Friends, we're everywhere. Hallelujah. And every single day as I start out my morning, I go over a list of people that I want to pray for, those that have been raised in our congregation that are ministering all over the globe today, foreign countries and all over the United States. But part of that prayer every single day is that God will allow our individual and our corporate light to shine in His marketplace, wherever God has planted us. You see, friends, I believe that God has strategically placed each of us exactly where He wants us to be. I believe the home you live in, yes, you may have made choices and you may have made plans to live, either it's in the apartment or the complex you're living in, or it's in the residential area, the part of the city, you may have had a lot in your mind of what you wanted and how you wanted it to play out of where you live. But I believe that God has been directing our footsteps and He's planted us strategically so that we are a little bit of light here and there and everywhere. And I believe that God wants our light to shine like never before. Amen, church? Let our light shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. And I also believe that God has planted you at your job. I believe that God has placed you exactly where He wants you to be. And that where you work is your mission field, as is where you live, your neighbors and your neighborhood. I believe that God has called us for such a time as this. And that has been since the beginning of time, where the church has gathered together. They gathered, they received, and then they went out and they dispersed and they brought light to the darkest places. And I believe that God is going to cause our light to shine in ways like we have never seen before. Since 1979, this congregation has always invested in missions from its very beginning in its 89 years. But since 1979, that's the only period of time that we have full ACMR reports for, I asked once again, Marge, I said, would you go back? I would like to know how much this congregation has invested in missions around the world since 1979. And she came back, had a long tape and, you know, all the documents to go along with it. And that figure was $18,093,163 that you have all invested in reaching the lost all over the world. This morning, as we gather here, there are others that are gathering in churches and buildings that we have built all around the world. We have some churches in Argentina, and we're looking forward to going to Argentina in January. And if you want to be part of that team, that sign-up's coming up real soon, you can come along. But we've started some churches there. One is running 7,000. The other one's running 4,000. And we have churches right now all over the globe. I am so grateful for the way that you have prayed for me during this time of this physical battle. And I cannot thank you enough. But I've received from the churches in Argentina, we're praying for you. Churches that are in Benin, Africa, places around the globe. We helped start a brand new church in Burkina Faso. And the church of Burkina Faso sent a message, we're praying for you. You know what, friends? We're a big family. That's what we are. And the big family is here. The big family reaches around the world. And everywhere where we have sent that $18,093,000, wherever it's gone, these men and women, they have become part of our family. And they look to us as brothers and sisters today. And I want you to know that you have brothers and sisters all over the globe. Matter of fact, from the 300 that started in Hot Springs, Arkansas in 1914 to today, there's 69.5 million of us that are gathered together on the Lord's Day all over the globe. And for that, once again, we should say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Oak Creek Assembly of God, remember there's 12,936 churches. Oak Creek Assembly of God now ranks number 18 in the nation for world missions giving. Can we say thank God for that? Psalm 103 in verse 2 once again says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. David says, the last thing I want to do is forget the blessing of God, because I know that God specifically sent blessing to me, and the least that I can do is to pause, reflect, recall, and then to thank God for what he has done. Now, secondly, I want you to consider how reflection ought to lead to celebration. You know, David's reflection, when he began to think about all the things that God had done for him, it led David into a time of celebration. That is why he writes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has blessed me, therefore I have the privilege of blessing him. You know, that's really pretty big stuff when you think that you have the privilege of blessing the Lord God. And that you can bless the heart of God. And David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 2 once again. In verse 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in each other's homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now notice there, it says in verse 47, praising God. And the question would be, when you read that, praising God for what? I'll tell you, if you read the entire context, they were praising God because 3,000 had just been saved on the day of Pentecost. Jewish men and women that were responsible for crucifying Christ, crying out, away with him, give us Barabbas. 3,000 gave their lives to Christ. And what are they doing? They're thanking God and praising God for it. Now, friends, I believe we ought to be praising God for all that he has done. And the Lord added to their number daily those that are being saved or were being saved. You know, the Bible is filled with grand celebrations. When you read through the scriptures, you'll read about festivals and feasts and jubilees and dedicatory parties. Here's why. Because when you reflect and you remember, it leads to celebration. And friends, I believe it is a sin not to celebrate the wonderful works of God. I believe when God has blessed us, that we are men and women that ought to respond in such a way that is a celebration back to God for what he has done and a way of giving him thanks. You know, when you read through Luke chapter 15, it points this truth out. Look at Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 4. Here's what it says. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, doing what? Say it. Rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls his neighbors and friends together, saying with them, that's your cue. That's not my gospel gun. That's your cue. All right. We're going to give you another chance. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you likewise that there will be more in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So notice here, there's this pattern, lost, found, and then it's rejoice. Let's look at it one more time. Look at verse 8. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say, there will be joy. You missed that one. Likewise, I say unto you, there will be in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now notice it goes and flows right into the story of the prodigal son. And the son said to him, this is after the son came to himself and he decided he'd return back home and repent and live with his father once again. And the father's and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be what?
Merry.
So there's this principle in Scripture. Lost, the searching, the finding, and then the rejoicing. That's right. Now the eldest son, as you remember, when the son came home from his, you know, sinful ways and came back home to his father, he wasn't happy about it at all. All he could think about is what a mess that young boy had made of his life and how he had, you know, hurt his father and wanting his inheritance to leave. And Here's what the father said to that son. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Church, we have so much to celebrate. God has been so good. 71,065 times the lost has been found. The dead has come back to life. And for that, we give all praise to God. You see, the simple truth is this. Without God's blessing, we would have absolutely nothing to celebrate in any category of life. I often say, if it's good, it's from God. For the scripture says, every good and perfect gift has come from the Father of lights above, in whom there is no shadow of change. And I am so glad that God changes not, and that God is good, and God is merciful, and that God is a saving God. And that the Bible says, where sin abounds, his grace doth much more abound. We have much to be grateful for. The celebration is a direct recognition then of God's blessing. Let me talk about recognition as we close. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, it says, for when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, that word carnal there does not mean evil. He is saying that you're merely living on an earthly level. You're living earthy. Not living on the heavenly standard, but you're living on the earth standards. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom ye have believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Paul says. Apollos then followed up and he watered. But it was God that gave the what? The increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We have not gathered together this morning to build up any man or to build up any one singular church. We have gathered together to worship the Lord our God that has given us so much and blessed us beyond measure. And the Bible says, seeing this, in Acts chapter 2, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, it says in Psalm 127 and verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So defining our present, if I were to say, where are we at today in the year 2022? Where are we at on July the 17th? My answer to you would be, we're blessed. Amen. We are blessed, blessed, blessed of God. And I encourage you in your personal life and in our corporate life together that we would pause in the busyness of life. I realize that, you know, the hours can be long and responsibilities are so many. But in the midst of all of this, let me encourage you to pause. I think one of the best times to pause is in the morning before we go out and mess up our day. You know, time spent with God is never wasted time. It's never consumed time. It will always produce more than what you put into it. And so it's a good thing to pause. I think it's a good thing to pause at the end of the day as well. It's one of the things that me and my wife do together. At the end of the day, together, we pause, take hands together, we pray, and we thank God for all that he has done. Take time to pause. Take time to reflect. As you're pausing and in that moment that you've set aside to hear from God, begin to reflect. What is it that God is doing in your life? Where has God brought you from? How has he blessed you financially? How has he blessed you emotionally? How has he blessed you in your relationships? How has God blessed you? Reflect. Recall the blessing of God. And then celebrate. Celebrate the blessing of God. Where are we at? Where is this church defining the present? We're blessed of the Lord. Amen. Friend, if you look at your life, I believe you can say the same. As for me and my house, we're blessed. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Let's stand together all over this congregation. And I'm going to ask the worship team just to lead us as we're going to take a moment. I want you to pause. Forget about what's happening next. If you need to, picture yourself like those down in Central America that were taking those steps and then just kind of stopping, waiting for their soul to catch up with them. Let your soul catch up. God wants to bless you. As you pause, as you begin to reflect, I want you to recall. And as you recall the blessing of the Lord, I want you then to begin to thank Him. As they begin to lead us in song, I want you to go through this four steps. Four steps. First of all, you do what? Pause. Then it's reflect. Then it's recall. And then it's to thank Him. Let's do that as they begin to lead us in worship.